Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie, sitting here at the roundtable this morning with my co-host, Cynthia Oliver. We're talking to mothers and daughters around the world. Yes, I said it, around the world. It's amazing. But the internet will do, will provide for you. So, it's an interesting morning, mothers and daughters. It's a very interesting morning. But the Holy Spirit has it. You know, I tell them, I said, I'm not worrying about a thing. I cannot afford to. It would go against what God told us to do. Do not worry, you know, because when we worry, then we are actually out of faith. And only faith moves God. So, you know, you do the math. And that means if you worry, you're out of faith, and then God can't move for you. Now you're in a situation, you have a problem. It's like that, the commercial. Mommy, we have a situation here. So anyway, I pray this morning for every mother and daughter around the world that the Holy Spirit will touch them. Father God, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for choosing us to be your mouthpiece, to speak to mothers and daughters around the world, to share what you've placed on our hearts. And Father God, we want to just say, without Jesus, none of this would have happened. None of it would have happened. It's because of Jesus that we are, and that we are saved, and we're safe, and that we have eternal life, that we are born again, that we have the Holy Spirit, that we are healed, that we are rich. We live in abundance because of Jesus we are. And I just want to say thank you this morning. Thank you for choosing me to be a part of your team, choosing me to use this body so that you could speak to mothers and daughters around the world. And Father God, this morning we ask for a blessing on the many mothers, the young mothers that are out there this morning. There's some things going on that is pressing on my heart this morning for young mothers. Because as older women in Titus 2, we are responsible for helping to give wisdom and understanding and knowledge to help raise up a whole new generation. And Father God, I just stand this morning for every mother, every older mother, including myself. And I ask you to forgive us for where we've fallen short just to do what we were supposed to do. Maybe we missed a young girl that we could have helped. Help us stay on track. Help us to hear the Holy Spirit and to reach out to young mothers that need our help. We've been down the trail. We know a little more at our age. So I'm asking you to plant us on the pathway of some young daughters that may not even be mothers right now, but you may choose them to be a mother. I'm asking you to put us in place. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us and tell us what we should say to help make her life easier, to help make her journey on this road called life as a mother to be easier, more blessed, because she can do it all through Christ. And I just want to thank you this morning for the opportunity, because as I come on Saturday morning, I come because I'm called. And I thank you. And I thank you for Cynthia, who come because she's called. Deborah, who come because she's called. And all the mothers and daughters that tune in from Saturday to Saturday to Saturday. You don't have to, but something nudges your heart and you come. All the mothers and daughters that read, that listen to the program through Facebook and all the other channels that it's on, you see it, you click on it, you listen. And I pray that it's a blessing either to you and your daughter or to someone you know that you can pass the word on, because it's the Holy Spirit that speaks, not me. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Again, good morning. My name is Dr. Bessie, and I'm here at the round table with my co-host, Cynthia Oliver, and we are talking to mothers and daughters around the world. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you? Well, I thought she could hear. Cynthia, are you there?
I can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
I said good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you now.
How are you? I'm in mommy heaven because I got all of my boys here from around South Florida and Georgia and their significant others. So I am doing just fine. It's always just a pleasure to do mommy duties, and I'm definitely on that this weekend. And for Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there who listen to us as well. We dare not leave you guys out this weekend. But all is well, Dr. Fletcher. I cannot complain. All is well.
God is blessing. Yes, that is it. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Because you are great fathers. Because God is.
You're the ultimate father. Amen.
So there it is. You know, the more you know God, the closer you get, the better father you are, the better son you are, the better friend, co-worker, brother, husband, better person. So, yes, we recognize all the fathers this morning, because God created the father and the mother. Therefore, we create a whole new generation. All right, so this morning I'll be right back to you, Cynthia. I'm going to just kind of share what the Lord has placed on my heart, and then I'll come back and pick you up.
Yes, ma'am.
All righty, thank you. All right, audience. I'm going to pick myself up. Someone called me this morning with some news, and, sometimes I try to make sure I have to process. and it seems like, I get these calls on Saturday mornings when I'm trying to set up the system for the radio program or, whatever it is. It just seems like it just comes right then and there. The phone stopped ringing on Saturday morning. Some I just look at them and I can't say anything, and some I have to answer because I know who it is, and I know if they call me this time of morning, it's important. So, therefore, I answer it, and then when I answer it, sometimes it's more than I can handle at the moment because I'm in the middle of trying to get ready to come on the air, and so you start juggling around, and then you just pray, and I just said, you know what, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I have to call on the Holy Spirit because I can't, I said, I don't have time to deal with this. This is not for me to deal with this morning. I have someone that can take care of that. And I called upon the Holy Spirit. And I can pretty much guarantee you, by the time I get off of this radio program, that situation will be taken care of. I am not going to worry. I promise myself, mothers and daughters, I will not worry. I am not going to go guess what God said. Because to worry means that you have taken control of the situation. You're telling God, don't worry about it, God. I have it. I have it. I'll take care of it. And you don't even know what it really is. You know what you think you see or heard, but you don't know what it really is because it's deeper than what the eyes can see and the ears can hear. So then now you need the Holy Spirit. You need him to go in. You need him to dispatch the angels. And then you need to just sit back and wait and watch and see because you know your Holy Spirit and you know it's going to be okay because he never fails you, mother and daughter. That's the beauty of being saved. And for anybody out there that is not saved, you need to call on the name of Jesus right now and you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart. You need to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And you need to repent. And repentance only means, Lord, I'm going to stop this nonsense. I'm going to stop doing what I do now. I'm going to change the way I live. I'm going to change the way I process. I'm going to change the way I make decisions. I'm going to change my habits. And I'm going to start depending on you. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to find out what you say I should do. And then I'm going to become a doer of those words. So when something comes up, you don't have to worry about it. You just call on the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus said, I came, I taught you, I showed you, I left, and then God sent someone to replace me. The same spirit that I had in me is in you, which he sent back to the earth for anyone who will receive it. All you got to do is say, I believe it and I receive it, and then now he lives in you. Then he fights your battles. You don't have to go through it. And personally, it's not my battle, but when someone called me about their daughter, it becomes my battle. Because I feel like the Lord has led them to call me. That's what I do. I don't have to tell this every Saturday morning, but I can't tell you the number of phone calls that I get. But I take them to heart. Because then I'm praying on it, I'm meditating on it, and I'm standing for the best results. But I don't know enough to do it just as Bessie. I call on the Holy Spirit. He's never failed. And I'll let you know next week, but I can guarantee you it'll be taken care of. So again, good morning. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher. I'm here on Blog Talk Radio with mothers and daughters around the world. And that's what we do. We stand for mothers and daughters. That's my anointing. That's my calling. I've been doing it for 20 years now, mothers and daughters. People don't understand it. You know, sometimes they want to measure your growth, where you are, but they don't see all the things that you do. I don't need to be on television. I don't need to be on radio. I don't need to be in the magazine. I don't need to be at the biggest conferences, speaking at the largest churches. None of that means anything if God didn't tell you to do it. I don't need to do that. I just need to be available when God sends that one person by because maybe that's my plot for life. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to be doing. One at a time. But if you can save one mother, you can save four generations. See, it's deeper than you think. If you can save one mother, you can save four generations. Because the trickle-down effect is generational. If that mother changed and that mother, say, for instance, if a young lady has a daughter and she changed at the age, and her daughter's at the age of three, the magnificent effect that she can have on that daughter at three, because she hasn't taken in too much information. She hasn't been exposed that much. You've changed. You're living for God.
you're using God and you're showing and you're teaching your daughter about God. Now you're raising up a whole nother generation. And she's going to do what? She's going to be even more powerful before she even have her daughter, because now she has God already in her, in the awareness of God and Jesus Christ in the process and the Holy Spirit as a young lady growing up, that when she has her child, she immediately talks to that child at conception. And that 9-month period becomes very strong, very spiritual. Because believe it or not, the child that's inside the womb of the mother is more keenly aware of heaven than the mother. Because she's freshly placed in that body from God. So all you're doing is just adding what you know, mother, and keeping her in tune with what she already knows. So then now we have a situation where the mother changed, the daughter was 3, she's now affected. She's a Christian young lady, grows up, get married, has a baby. She's raising her child the way, all that she knows, because, you know, keep in mind she was 3, so she don't remember all the stuff prior to. All she knows now is from 3 up, and she knows that Jesus is the answer. She tells her daughter, Jesus is the answer. Her daughter raised up. She goes through the same process, and then she has her baby, and she tells her daughter, Jesus is the answer. And then that daughter raises up, and then here we go with 4 generations. And that affects the sons, because every mother doesn't always have daughters. They have sons. And that same effect, like I tell you, when we're teaching the mothers and daughters, it's not excluding the son, because every human that entered on this earth comes through a mother. So when people ask me, why do you focus on mothers? Because that's what God told me to do, because he made it very clear to me. No one enters the earth except through a woman. And that woman, once she becomes pregnant and has that baby, now she's given a new title as mother. But there's no way man or female can enter into the earth except through a woman. So if we concentrate on getting the woman right, which is the daughter, and prepare her so that she will be ready if God decides to choose her to bring a human into the earth. Everyone is not chosen. And I know I hear mothers say sometimes, I wish I'd have never became a mother. I didn't want to become a mother. And those children getting on my last nerves. Well, you know what? You should be honored that God even chose you, because he didn't have to. It was his choice. He chose you to bring a human into the earth. What an honor. What an honor. And then you decide, after you brought the child into the earth, you don't want to take care of the child. You don't have time for the child. That's dishonoring God. You don't get to say that. You can say it, but you don't have the right to say it, because you didn't choose to have the child. God chose you to do him a favor. Look, Bessie, I need you to have Angela, because I have work and I have need of her. See, God have need of us. Sometimes people walk around and they think, well, God can just do anything. No, he can only do what he say he's going to do. He follows his word. He's not going to go outside of what he say. He said, my word will not go void. So whatever he say, that's what he's going to do. So he gave you the opportunity to choose life or death. And he simply tells you, you choose. It's up to you to choose. And as I tell you something, and I want it to hit your spirit, I want you to go and look it up. That's why the Lord don't let me always give you Bible verses and give to you, because I'm not going to give you milk all the time. You're going to have to eat. We can't just keep throwing Bible verses at you. Challenge it. Did God say that? Let me look it up. Let me look it up. Don't believe me. I'm just saying what the Holy Spirit said. Don't believe me. Look it up. So you can grow up so that you can have a stronger relationship with God. Yeah, God did say that. Wow, I didn't know that. All you got to do is hit Google. Where did the God say so and so and so in the Bible? Google will take you, give you all the Bible verses that you need. That's how easy it is. And then you go to the Bible and you look it up and you read it for yourself. And then when you read it for yourself, then God gives you what? Revelation. But if we give you the Bible verses every time, you just say, oh, that was in John 3:16. Okay. But you need to read it because you don't get revelation until you read it. And then you don't get it until you seek it. And that's why this is not a Bible study. We give you the information so you can seek the word of God, so you can, when you seek it and you find it, then you're going to read it. And when you read it, then God's going to give you revelation. You can't get revelation if I give you the Bible verse. But you get revelation when you seek it, when you read it. That's why he said to read, to make yourself worthy, because he knows he's going to speak to you when you get to that word. It's going to embrace you. It's going to just captivate your spirit, because your spirit is going to connect to the word of God. So, mothers, as we have our daughters, it is our responsibility to teach them how to seek out the word. Ask them a question. But see, in order to do that, you must already know, because you can't teach what you don't know. And this topic this morning, I'm not even going to go with last week's topic. Please just go to our website, mdbn.org, and look it up and listen to it. That's fine. But I just don't want to get off of this topic, because usually I give you the highlights from last week. But I'm not going to do that, because this is so important. I want to just stay focused. The Holy Spirit is telling me to keep going. Today our stimulating topic is, are mothers born or are they taught? Think about it. Are mothers born or are they taught? See, every daughter or every girl child is born as a daughter. Let me say it like that. So a daughter is born, she's not a mother. She's just a girl child. And then a daughter grows up in the presence, hopefully, of her mother. And as she's watching her mother, as she's in the environment of her mother, she's being trained by her mother to become a mother if God so choose her. So now she's growing up. She's watching you. She's hearing you. She sees your reaction. She sees your temperament. She sees how you treat people. She knows when you have a joke about somebody. And mothers, I tell you, the worst thing a mother can do is have a joke about an adult with your children, about another adult, and laughing, because they disrespect you. They don't respect you when you do that. You think it's okay to laugh at another adult with your children, making fun of another adult, and you think they're going to respect you because you're training them how to be deceitful. You're training them how to talk about an adult, you and the child laughing at another adult. When I'm in counseling sessions and I hear daughters, small daughters, tell me how their mother is nothing but a liar. She's a liar, Dr. Fletcher. I'm like, what? She's a liar. Now, how are you going to sit here and tell me your mother's a liar? Well, that's what she does. She laughs and talks to Miss Jones like she like her, get to church hugging on Miss Jones, telling how beautiful she is. And I hear her talking bad about Miss Jones all the time, laughing and talking about Miss Jones and even joking with me about Miss Jones. See, they don't respect you when your integrity is out of place. But you think it's cute. But it's not, because it's going to come back. Because later on she's going to say, well, you can't tell me what to do. Now she's 16. Because you're not that honest yourself. And then you want to kill her now. You're like, what, girl? You said what to me? Are you serious? You talking to me? Because what? The truth has shown up. The truth reared its head. And now it's staring you in the face. She's 16. You can't spank her. You can't too much punish her because you're afraid that she'll walk out and won't come back. So now you're between the rock and the hard place. She was born as a girl child. She was born to be taught. Don't tell your daddy I bought that outfit. I'm going to put it in the car for a few days. He'll have a fit. Now you're teaching her to lie. Be deceitful. It's okay. But now she's 16 years old. Wants to date. And you want to tell her why she can't date. You want to tell her all the things that she shouldn't do. Because now you're saved. And you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And you're just going to wipe out your mind all that you've done. But you never sat down to apologize to your daughter for the things that you've done. Oh, yeah, you went to God. You apologized to God and you repent to God. But how many times have you gone to your daughter and said, you know what? I've done so many wrong things when you were little. I did this, 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 and this. Try to remember as much as you can. And I'm asking you to forgive me. I was not right, and I apologize. I didn't know any better. Will you forgive me? That will start you all off on a whole new journey of life because it clears up. She understands that you make mistakes and she makes mistakes because there's no perfect mother and daughter, because there's no perfect people. But to act like it never happened and just keep going, doing business as usual, now that you're saved, you know, you're just going to just act like she never saw that. She act like she never heard you tell lies. Act like she didn't hear you on the phone when you were in the car when she was little, when you were cursing and carrying on and talking about somebody and what you're going to do to them and talking about your husband and he ain't this and he ain't that and he ain't the other. And that's why you're thinking about doing this, that, and the other. Oh, she heard all of that. So are mothers born or are they taught? Now, a daughter gets pregnant, not yet a mother, but she's in the process. She's going through the 9-month stages. And those 9 months depend on her knowledge, her wisdom, her connection with God, as to how she interacts with that unborn child. Because at the end of 9 months, she's believing, I'm not going to stay pregnant like this. See, we'll believe that. We've been told 9 months that baby's going to come out, and oh boy, around about the 7th month, we believe even more. The 8th month, oh, we really believe, of you, big as a house. Oh, my God, I believe this. I only have 6 more weeks. Oh, my God, I only have 3 more weeks. And then, oh, my God, I'm supposed to go in on Tuesday. Tuesday come, what? A week go by. Are you serious? I'm believing. 9 months. But you still could be in the 9 months. Because, see, you know, your calculation, the doctor's calculation is not God's. God has an appointed time for that child to enter into the earth. Because what? We really want to get through this so we can get on the other side of it. So now you have a daughter. She's still not a mother. She's a young girl child. I say, growing up, watching you, recording everything that you say is going into her subconscious mind. Her eyes are taking pictures like the lens of a camera. Click, 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 click. And it's deposited into her subconscious mind. And oh, the enemy, he stands on the other side and he watches and he plots and he plans, because he knows that one day he's going to be able to use that information against you. He's going to be able to remind your daughter, remember your mother did? Remember when your mother said, oh, it's just not you when you grow up. When you were a little girl, you remember saying things about your mother. You remember going back through your mind, things you heard from your grandmother, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles. You know, you record all that information. It came back at a given time. Because, see, the enemy has to have something that he can use to trick you. And he needs something that he knows that you know. Therefore, he can add to it, distort it, and you will believe what he's adding to it, because you have that baseline of what you think is the truth. And everything else above that is the enemy's trap, his tricks to kill and steal and destroy your faith. So now you have the daughter, and the daughter becomes a mother. And the daughter, she doesn't have the knowledge to raise another daughter except being taught by her mother, her grandmother, or some other mother that God has sent across her path. So it goes right back to the topic. Are a mother born, or are she taught? I believe that a daughter is born with an innate nurturing spirit. Even as a little girl, you'll see her sit and play with a doll, and she will emulate the things that she's seen her mother do or has done. And especially if there's another baby beyond her and she can look back and see in action, in real life, in real time, how the mother takes care of that baby. She's watching. She sees you feeding the baby. She sees you talking to the baby. She sees you changing the diaper. She sees all these things. And then she reacts and replay that script with her dolls. If you spank that baby, if you spank her, if you curse at her, if you shake her, if you do anything evil, you just watch that little girl. She will sit, she will spank that baby, she will curse that baby, she will shake that, she will emulate everything that you've done. Because what? You're teaching her how to become a mother. She will become the mother that you are teaching her to be. So no, she wasn't born as a mother. She was born with a spirit of nurturing in her. She was born to help, to take care, to nurture another human being. But how can she do that if she's not taught? We're all taught how to do something. We didn't come here with the knowledge to do it. We came here with the ability to learn. You want to be a doctor, engineer, chief, computer, engineer, graphics designer. These things have to be learned. You go to school. And if you don't go to school, you're trained by a master in that field, someone that knows how to do it. And they said, look, I'm going to show you how to do this. I'm going to give you this trade. When I grew up, that was the thing. My dad was an electrician, but he did plumbing. He did, you know, he could plumb the house. He could do air conditioning, refrigerator. And he just like a little bit of everything. And so what he did with his brother, since he was the oldest, he taught them. No, he didn't finish high school because his dad got sick, and he was the oldest of 12 children. So his job was to, he had to stop school and to help his mother with the children on the farm. But someone came along and taught him how to become an electrician. And he had a gift from God that he could draw blueprints. He could design buildings and did those things and didn't have a high school degree. But see, he was taught how to do them. And how did he help his brothers? He said, I'm going to teach y'all the trade. So he would bring them on and teach them. And every last one of them ended up in heating and air, and all of them made a good living, owning their own business. My dad owned his own business. That's why I know I'm an entrepreneur. I grew up in a house of entrepreneurs, my mother and my father. They were taught how to do something, and they took it, and they learned it so well that they mastered it enough that they could run their own business. And every last one of those young men, they will tell you, even down to my dad's baby brother, he's the only one left now, owns his own company, many, many houses, started off where daddy taught him, heating and air. They went to work for other companies, mastered the trade, studied, got certificates and what have you, and moved out into their own business. So what does that mean? If we are not taught by someone, his dad wasn't there to teach him, but God sent someone else along. So mothers, if you don't do the right thing and you don't hurry up and get on track with God, God allow us time to get ourselves together, then he's going to send someone else. It may be a teacher. It may be a neighbor. It could be a stranger, but God's going to send someone else to help your daughter get on track. And sometimes the daughter is saved. She goes to a church. She's saved. She gets this relationship with God. God started teaching her. God started exposing her, bringing people into her life. And then she goes back and gets the mother. And that's okay. If you're willing to know that your daughter can teach you, your daughter can reach back and pull you up. I thank God for my daughter. Because how many times have she taught me things? I'm not the only teacher here. And I listen to her, too, because she's very smart. She's a woman of God. And I don't underestimate that. My prayer partner. But she and I, neither one, was born to be a mother. We were taught by a very good mother. And she didn't know it all. She just taught me what she knew, but the one thing that she taught me, and I always tell you, and if you've been on this radio program at any length of time, we've been on here 10 years, my mother always say, baby, when you don't know and you need help, just call on Jesus and don't stop. And that's the best advice she could give me. Because whenever I got into a situation, and even to this day, I just start saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Whatever it is, it will lift. Don't stop. Just keep saying it. Jesus, 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 Jesus. The enemy will flee. Cannot stay in that energy. So, yes, the daughter is built with a nurturing system that makes her aware of innate behaviors in her newborn daughter. But she has to be taught how to be a woman of God and how to be the mother that God would have her to be. And now I'm going to go back to Cynthia. Good morning, Cynthia, again.
Good morning again, Dr. Fletcher.
Going away talking
you,
about
you've said, yeah, Go ahead. I apologize.
No, I was saying this morning we were talking about, are mothers born or are they taught?
Well, I do definitely concur with you as it, mothers are as we, that baby is conceived, it's an internal instinct that starts to develop through the pregnancy. So I think we all, as far as women or children or young women are as they're born, I think we all have it in us to be mothers. But you truly have to learn how to be a mother. I was, as you were talking, I was thinking about the first 9 years of my children's lives. I have two sons. I have two biological sons that that are 3 years apart. And I thought, and I think about how insufficient or inefficient, I'll put it that way, I was when I first had them. And it took me about 9 years to get that, to become the mother that I wanted to be to my children. I had to learn how to be a mother because, as you said, you have to be taught. And I had my grandmother, but my mother wasn't there. So despite the fact that my grandmother demonstrated motherly duties, I don't think I picked up that instinct or desire, if you will, to or learn how to be a mother. And so because it was a thing where it was just a set of rules that I followed as I saw her. She didn't really teach you. You just had to be observe what she was doing to teach you how to do things. So the teaching wasn't there. I only had the observation of seeing her raise four children in her home, and then she was a foster mom, so we had so many children in and out of our lives, but there was never a teaching, if you will. And so it took me a long time. For the first 9 years of my children's lives, I struggled to be a mother. Yes, did I have the instincts? Absolutely. Psychologically, I wasn't prepared to be a mother. And women who are not prepared, even though you start to have those instincts as you give birth, as you carry that child, I really, really had to learn how to be the mother that I desired to be to my children. And it was just really interesting that it really took me to go to the Word of God. It really took me to read psychology books in order that I can be effective in my children's lives. That I created, that God allowed to get the integrity that I needed to raise them, in order to have the love that a mother has for a child. I really had to learn to have those things because it just wasn't there for me. And so when you, like you said, if you're not taught, then how do you know? And that's why God tells us to study to show yourself approved. I had to study in order to learn how to be a mother, to give my children the things that they needed, that they can grow up and be respectful men to this day, because they're 28 and 31. I had to learn. And mothers, and like Dr. Fletcher said, I had to go back and get my mother so she can be a better person or feel that she somehow it was okay that she didn't raise her children. I think me going back to my and getting my mother and pulling her up, if you will, I think that gave her peace towards the end of her life, because she had one of the children that she so many years ago allowed to be raised by somebody else. And I think that's how we save these generations after generations. Even though the mother comes first, sometimes it's that person that God has chosen to be the voice of reason within a family
that we can go back and get our mothers. And my mother was open to sharing her life story with me. And that helped me be a better mother as well, because it taught me to learn how to forgive people. A mother who can't forgive her children for errors and can never be the mother that I believe, and this is my belief, that she can never be the mother that God created her to be, because God wants us to forgive. And our children will mess up, and our children will stray. They will even stray. But if you don't have the right perceptions about what a mother is and how to love that child the way God loves you, then somehow we fall short. And we are not teaching our children, no matter how old they are, we're not teaching them, and especially if we have girls, we're not teaching a woman child, if you will, we're not teaching them how to be mothers or grandmothers. Because if they never see it, they can never be it. So for me, I do concur with you, Dr. Fletcher. You have to be taught how to be a mother. We all have the instincts, but it takes time, effort, study to be truly that God-fearing mother that He has created us to be. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Okay, that's very good. See, it's nothing like your own experience. That's why I tell people, you know, I can only talk about what I know from my experience. I can't tell your story. Everybody has their story, but your story hit it, the nail dead on the head. But the thing that came to my mind when you were talking said that your grandmother never taught you. The Holy Spirit just showed me she did teach you. See, we are taught, very few people, if any, mothers set them down like a classroom situation and teach them life. We are taught by looking at them. That's why it's important to mind what you say and how you're being around people, because you're teaching your children. We're being taught just being in their presence. And that's where your grandmother learned, and that's where my mother learned. And that's the way I look at it. I can remember things, seeing mother doing things, and everything wasn't perfect. I've heard her say some things that she shouldn't have said. You know what I'm saying? Talk about some conversation. My mother was not a gossipy person. But if you came to her, she'd give you her opinion. And sometimes maybe I thought, and I got that too. See, we get what we get, because, you know, I don't go around talking about people. But if you ask me my opinion, I'm going to give you my truth, the way I think about it. And sometimes you can't even do that. Sometimes you do need to say, well, you know, let me just think about it and pray on it and move on. Because that truth that you put out there can come back to haunt you, as if you have said something dishonest or said some evil about whatever the conversation was. So my thing is that, you know, we're all being taught and we all having to learn, and we just have to depend on Jesus, because nobody has to answer except for Jesus to lift us up. And some things I went back to God and said, you know, Lord, you know, my mother taught us to be such strong women, such leaders, that we don't have I'm going to put you on mute because I can hear some background noise. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia? Okay, I'm going to put you on mute.
I'm here.
I say this. Okay. So, you know, I know there were some things that I said, you know what, I'm not going to do this when I grow up with my child. In my mind, I really didn't think I wanted to have children, but thank God I had my daughter. I thank God that He paid me no attention and chose me anyway. But, you know, I said, I am not going to be this kind of mother. I'm not going to spank my child. You know, that was one of the main things. I'm not going to spank her. I'm going to listen to her, and I'm going to talk it out, and I'm not going to be quick to judge. If an adult tells me something that my child said, I'm going to talk to my child, and I'm going to make sure that I get her side of the story. Because when I was being raised, you know, if an adult told my mother something, my mother just automatically took the adult side, and a lot of times she she'd ask me, but she didn't really listen to me. That's the difference. I'm saying that I'm trying to tell you. But, you know, I wasn't that little perfect girl either, because I could really twist the truth and make it into what I wanted to make it into. And she knew me well enough. So sometimes we cry wolf so long that it just doesn't work for you anymore. And I get the spanking. But then sometimes when I was really on it and I said, well, you didn't even listen to me to hear my side of the story. Well, that was a part of that wolfing that I'd done probably prior to. Being an only child, you know, you manipulate your mother, you manipulate your father because, you know, you got them both in your hand. And I did. I, you know, that was it. But I did see this strong woman. She ran the household. Daddy didn't have to worry. Everything was taken care of. As most women, that's what we do. But there's a place there. You have to allow that husband to be the husband. He has to have be the man. And I told my daughter, I said, I've learned from my mistakes. You know, and I don't want you to come along and we have this pearl effect. We call it the pearl effect. So we're going to make a change here. We're going to change this around. We're going to stop this. This is not going to pass on to the next generation. We don't have any girls in the family. I have two grandsons. But still, they are going to look at the way their mother interact with their father and that mother and father relationship as to how they're going to treat their wives. And so I said, you know, we can't let them see that they don't have a place in the decision-making process at the table, because then they may never get married. And to this day, they ain't really dating. So, you know, I said, well, did we mess them up? You know, because they are so career-oriented. And that's a good thing, too, but yet they don't run over other people's daughters. That's a must that we ask them not to do, and so far it seems that that's working. But still, I talk to them all the time, and I had one say to me, I don't think I'm ever going to get married. After I seen some things I saw, you know, I'm just like, I said, nah, you can't process it because people are human. We all make mistakes. You can't do that. I don't know, Nana. I don't know. So, you know, we do have those conversations. But I'm saying they are watching, even the males, they are watching. And they watch that mother more than they do that father, to be honest with you, because everybody's looking for mother to make it right. They're looking for mother to make it right. Anything happen, the father said, your mother's going to, it's always, y'all better be quiet, children, your mother's upset. So we have that power in the family to manipulate good or bad. What else you got to say, Cynthia?
Well, it's the whole idea. We all have instincts, and then as we continue to mature, whether we are the children or the parents, I think we try to go into overdrive. Everything becomes automatic. So children automatically observe what's going on within their space with their parents. And there's I believe they make little checklists, like you said. There's some things you said that you weren't gonna do with your children because you ain't like how it went down with you and your mother. And so sometimes when we are maturing, we just kind of go into automatic drive, and that is what modifies the behavior for future generation, because we have made a decision that we are not going to go that route. And so when we hear young people, and we used to have meetings in my house when my children was growing up. So the three boys that was in and out of the house list of my godson, and plus the two sons that we raised together, we used to have some discussions about what's what. And when things wasn't going right in our house or in life, just in period, when one of the children was having some growing pains, It is in those conversations, Dr. Fletcher, that our children are affected, good or bad. But I know your grandchildren, and you guys have done such an incredible job rearing them with regards. They have a love for women, because anytime a young man wants to hang out with their nana, as they call you, you guys have done an incredible job. Yeah, they say they don't know if they want to get married, but I promise you, because of what I see, the love that they have for you and their mother, it's just going to go into automatic drive over time. They're going to be looking for that mother, I mean that wife that emulates their mother, because she has poured so much love into them. And that's what it takes to be a great mother. When you feel loved by your mother and you can call on your mother at any time, they're going to be seeking a young woman that has the spirit of their mother, a wise woman, a loving woman. And I know that that's what I have poured into my children. My sons are just like your grandsons. They won't mess over anybody's daughter, and they will always have the highest respect for them, because it's the way that we have reared them. We have talked to them, and we constantly pull them up, if you will. We constantly pull them up to be the men that God has created them to be. So they can be nothing other than that person who pours into the lives of a woman, and especially if they have children. They're going to be the greatest fathers because they have had the greatest parents. You guys have taught them how to be responsible human beings as other lives starts to come into their lives. They're going to treat that significant other as you guys have treated them and have that integrity that you were talking about. We have to teach them to have integrity, or we have to demonstrate so they can observe what we want them to be like. So thank you for allowing me to share that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That was very powerful, too. You know, it's like, wow. I tell you, I told the mother that called this morning, you know, at no time in our life here on earth, or I believe in heaven, are we released from being a mother. You know?
No.
Your mother duty, your grandmother duty, it still has mother in it. Your great-grandmother's duty, it still has mother on it. You can put whatever you want to put in front of it, but it still says mother. And you're on duty. You leave here, and when you leave here, you're on duty because you're hoping that you plant enough seed that it will grow and multiply to feed multiple generations. So it's a great opportunity to be called by God, but much is required. And when your daughter seems to be going astray and it seems like she's not doing it the way you want to do it, you know, like I told mother this morning, we're just going to put it in God's hands. Because when grown people, you know, they're grown, they want to make decisions for their lives. You can't change that, but you can ask God to intercede to make sure or protect them so that no danger and harm come upon them, and then you got to hold on to that and believe that. You got to believe in God and don't focus on the crazy, because you know Satan is doing what he does, and he does it well. And then he wants everybody to get on the same roller coaster and everybody ride, and when you dip, you throw your hands up. Ah! No. Not going to do it.
And that's the question. Allow me to. Yeah, absolutely. And let me just say this to mothers. If you trust the God for her, now you got to trust God with her. And you have to allow adults to make their decisions, good or bad. And we in a habit of mothers praying all the time for their protection. What we need to be praying for is an obedient spirit. Because if there's never any consequences for our children's behavior, then they never learn to walk another path.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just have to ask God to give our children obedient spirit based on what we have taught them. Now, if you haven't taught them in a way to be, because God said raise up a child in the way that he should go, even if he's straight, he will return.
Mm-hmm.
And so if mommy has done all that she can, mommy needs to just let go and let God. And it's not easy. It's
not
easy. And I told my son going up to Atlanta this week, because he's so quick to rebel a thought, I pray for you. I tell my son all the time, always pray. And I pray for you all the time. And my prayer for you, son, is that you will have an obedient spirit. I ain't praying nothing else. I ain't praying for protection. God, just give him an obedient spirit to walk in your ways. and then he's in your hands. Because
Amen.
Once we've raised them, God said we cannot raise children once a child. And once they become adults, we've done all that we can do.
Amen.
Good or bad. If you did one day and you didn't teach them, even if you was there and you taught them, they're going to make their own decision because you're not their only influences. So we just have to allow God to allow whatever to happen that they will, that aha moment will come. God's willing, it will come. And
Amen.
Guess what? Sometimes it won't come because sometimes we have hard hearts for whatever reason. And we just going to do what we're going to do, and we're going to let it play out. We pray for her. We pray for this mother right now in the name of Jesus. We pray for an obedient spirit, but we also pray for a spirit that mother was just let the child be the child adult. And let her make her own decisions. And so, Father God, we just pray for an obedient spirit. In the name of Jesus.
In the Jesus. Thank you. No better way to close it out. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, I couldn't say it any better. No better. And I'm going to take that to the mother right now. We're going to pray for an obedient spirit. Thank you, Cynthia. That's why God put us together. He sent us out by two. So when one fails, one's falling, one's up, we're right there to lift the other up. Thank you. That's a word. And I'm going to take that. Spirit told me that's the word. If we went through the whole show, but the Lord didn't let it in, so he gave the word. I told you by the time we got through the show, it's going to be all right. All right, mothers and daughters, we got the word, obedient spirit, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Cynthia. Enjoy your family.
Amen.
All of your young men, I said, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, my son-in-law, cousins, uncles, brothers, whatever, friends. But, you know, happy Father's Day. We can't do it without you, doggone it.
And please tell Felon I say happy Father's Day, and I love him very much.
All right. Same to Al. You know he's my buddy. All right, and all those young men y'all have. All right, y'all take care.
Ma'am.
God bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye, audience.